Well, praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries again. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I praise you and worship you and thank you for all the wonderful things you do. I thank you for all the miracles you're doing. I thank you for all the healings and deliverances. And I'm so grateful, Father, for the privilege to teach your word. Now, as the word goes out today, I ask you to reveal the word to your children so they may learn more about how to walk in divine health. In Jesus' name, amen.
In James 5:14, is any sick among you? Now, if you don't know that verse, you need to hide that verse in your heart. That's one of the healing verses, which is a guarantee from God. If it's of all the criteria is met, it'll heal you every time. I've seen people with that, those three verses, I've seen people raised up off their deathbed with terminal cancer that had a few days to live when I got to them to pray for them. I've seen them raised up. I've seen one woman raised up on her deathbed with breast cancer for 2 years that her intestines were blocked, couldn't eat a bite for 3 weeks, and I spent 5 hours teaching that lovely lady and her husband the Word of God, and they happened to be Southern Baptists at the time. And she was on her deathbed. She was in her mid-50s. And this woman, she kept saying, I am trusting Jesus to heal me. I said, ma'am, you missed it. Totally, completely missed it. She said, what do you mean? I said, Jesus is not going to heal you. She said, but I hope he will. I said, no, ma'am, that's wrong too. You have no seed sown in your heart. So I said, I'm going to sit down with you. I'm going to sow seed in your heart this afternoon. So for just me and her husband, now this little woman probably weighed 80 pounds now. She is totally shriveled up. She's on her deathbed, given maybe a week left to live. Hadn't had two big colons in her, blockage in her colon and her intestines, and hadn't been able to eat a bite of food for over 3 weeks. I spent 5 hours teaching that couple the Word of God. And at the end of that 5 hours, I looked over to that precious little Baptist woman and I said, ma'am, my airplane leaves in 1 hour to go back to Dallas. I really need to be on it. I said, have you heard enough of God's word to be healed? And that little Baptist woman looked over at me with fire in her eyes. And she said, I have never heard what you taught me today. But everything you said is in God's word. She said, you come over here and cast this demon of hell out of me right now. And I'm going to be healed right now. Do you hear any faith in that? That woman, she got a hold of the seed had been sowed and it had produced a crop and it produced it in a hurry. There must have been some good fertilizer mixed with that seed that day. She must have really been good soil because that crop grew up. I went over there and anointed that little woman with oil and commanded that demon to leave and spoke the healing power of Jesus in her, and she bounced up out of that church. She said, I'm healed. It's done. Praise God. She went with her husband to take me to the airplane, walked all the way to the end of the terminal. We got out there. I said, ma'am, you got to be weak. I said, you walked all the way down the stairs and all. She said, no, I'm going to walk you to the end of the terminal. I am healed. It's done. Jesus is my strength. I mean, she's saying the right things. She walked back from that terminal to the car and on the way to the house that night. I didn't know it till the next week. She said, I said, Don, honey, I hadn't had a bite to eat in 3 weeks. I'm totally healed. Stop right there. It's the best fried shrimp dinner place in town. We're going to have a shrimp dinner tonight. And she said, I pulled in, ate every bite of it. And she said, everything in my body worked perfect the next morning when I woke up. What does faith do? It heals you. It sets you free. What was I doing? Sowing seed into her heart. And the seed was producing a crop. And so that's the thing you've got to do. Now then, you cannot be healed before you get find out what God's will is. Now then, praying without faith will not heal you. You must never use the faith-destroying phrase, if. Never. When you use the faith-destroying phrase, if, that demon knows automatically that you don't know what the Word says. And since God is a faith God, I think about a man one time that came down for prayer. Now, I wasn't the pastor, but I know this guy personally. The Lord had told this man, said, I'm going to give you a special anointing when you lay your hands on people and you feel a fire in your hand, you'll know that there's a demon in there and you're to cast it out. So, I mean, this was a special anointing God gave this man. So he said, I was praying for people in a place, and one day a man came down. He had a real crippling arthritis. He could just take little bitty steps like this, and he couldn't bend over at all. So he said, he came down, and I walked up and laid my hand on him. When I did, the fire, I felt it. And I said, oh, there's a demon in there. So he said, in the name of Jesus, I command this demon of infirmity to come out of you. Now, mister, see if you can bend over and touch your toes. And nothing happened. And he did it again. And nothing happened. And he did it again. and nothing happened. He thought, well, I don't know why it didn't work. So he said, I turned to walk off. And they started taking the guy back there. And I thought, well, it wasn't God's will to heal that one. You know, I mean, this is where we live, see? So he turns to walk off and he said, there, I'll turn and look and said, there stands Jesus with his finger pointed right at my nose. And he said, I look and I said, Lord. He said, I could literally see him in the church. Nobody else could, but he said, I could. He said, I looked over. Of course, he's got a live mic on just like I have. And he says, Lord. And everybody thought, what's he talking about? And the Lord spoke to him and said, I said he would leave in my name. He said, Lord, I did everything you told me to do, and he would not leave. Now, everybody's hearing his side of the conversation. This is recorded. And the Lord says, but I said he would leave. He said, Lord, I'm telling you, I commanded the demon to leave, and he was not healed. So I just figure it's not your will to heal him. And he said, this time I knew what they must have felt like in the temple when he walked in with his ropes. He said, he looked at me, and he that finger, he said, fire came out of his eyes, and he raised his voice, and he said, I said in my name he will leave. Oh, so he said, I know what I done wrong. He said, bring that man back down here. And they brought that man back down there. He walked real slow. He said, I put my hand on his stomach, and there was a fire. I said, you demon of hell, come out of him in the name of Jesus. He said, now, mister, bend over and touch your toes. Jesus has healed you. And the man was totally free and totally healed. The only thing he did different, the first three times, he said, now, mister, see if you can bend over and touch your toes. And that demon knew that there was doubt in his heart, and he did not have to leave because God is a faith God, and you and I have to do everything by faith. See, knowing these things, that's why I told this little lady right here, when the 100 people prayed for you, and you've been prayed for all this time, you've never expected God to do anything, and ain't never, but nobody ever prayed in faith for you. I said, until you expect, and somebody prays in faith, you're going to get nothing from God. So, I prayed in faith, and she believed. And as she sits here right here, it's nice to have a live testimony. You know, it's what you can tell these stories, and I got multitudes of them. But it's wonderful when one of them's here today. It's wonderful to see God do these wonderful things. That way, that's why every once in a while on my radio show, I will have people on there, because just last week or week before last, whatever it was, for 5 days, all I had was live testimonies. I had people come, sit down with me. I brought my computer in here and my microphone, and after church, we'd sit down and we'd make shows with people. I said, would you come and tell us about your miracle? Yes. So for 5 days, we had probably 7 different testimonies in 5 days on my radio show, real live people like her telling their testimonies of what God had done for them when they were prayed for. Now then, that's a little different than back in the days when I lived the first 45 years and never saw one answer to prayer. I can take a week's worth of radio shows, and that's just a touch of what I've seen. So what do you think God wants to do for us as children? Wonderful things. He wants to heal us, but we got to sow the seed in our heart. We got to believe Him, and then we must act on His Word in faith after we make sure all of our sins are repented of. Now then, the only sin you may have is unbelief. As far as I know, this little lady here, that was really the only sin she had. She just didn't believe God. But unbelief will keep you from getting healed. You have to get rid of that unbelief, that if. In other words, if Jesus bore our sickness and removed our disease on the cross 2,000 years ago, there's no use in me and you both, or me and Him both having it. Why don't we just let Him have it? He bore it for us. Ain't that the way you look at it? Ain't no use in both of them. I mean, you know, just like the Lord clearly says, He said over there in Peter, He says, cast all your cares on me because I care for you. We go up to the cross, we talk, cry at the feet of Jesus, we cast our cares on Him, and we get up and take every one of them back with us. We don't leave them there like He told us to. If we did, we get up and walk out of there free. If He says, cast all your cares on me, cast them on Him and go be carefree. Go and walk in obedience to His Word, and no problems. Now then, that scripture that we talked about, already talked about that in great detail, about James 5, 14, 15, and 16. I want you to realize that. Let's see, we've been gone 1 hour and 5 minutes so far. Okay, it says, if that scripture, let me read something in that scripture in James 5. Also, I didn't quote the last part of that. Let me just read that whole thing to you. If you got your Bible there, you can follow along with me. James 5:14 says, is any sick among you? That includes everybody in the church. Let him or her call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Is that an awesome promise from our Lord? Do we live in unbelief? Yes, we live in unbelief. I have used that verse right there many times to see people healed of terminal cancer. But that's a guarantee from God. But look what the next part of that says in verse 16. Confess your faults. If you've got any sins, any unbelief or whatever it is, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. And then look at the requirement here. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So you got to have a man that prays effectually and fervently for you. And then he's got to be a righteous man. Now then, if the man is lying, stealing, cheating from his company, sleeping around on his wife once in a while, and he's a deacon in the church, don't go ask that man to pray for you. Because I don't care if he's a deacon in the church, I don't care what he does, God knows his sin. And when he tries to stand in the throne room of God, he's not going to be able to have confidence in his heart because his heart's going to condemn him. His sin is going to catch up with him, and the minute he starts to pray a prayer of faith, his heart's going to jump out of his chest and start screaming, liar, murderer, cheat, adulterer. They said, well, he never run around on his wife, but he's got an evil eye. And he looks at all the girls at work with that evil eye and undresses them from the neck down. The Lord says, under grace, if you look at a woman to lust after her in your heart, you're guilty of adultery. And then he also says, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. How many people in church say, I hate that guy or I hate that woman? Hey, you're guilty of murder. You need to repent. You just cut yourself off from God. You can't get no prayers answered. No. Will that bring sickness and disease upon you? Yes. That'll bring sickness and disease upon you. It sure will. See, we don't understand. There's a consequence to sin. Wow. When you learn this, guess what you stop doing? You stop sinning. People say, well, I'm just a human being. I can't stop sinning. Let me tell you, you can't stop getting sick either with that kind of an attitude. But when you realize with the Holy Spirit in you, you can overcome sin. It's a done deal. You don't have to sin no more. The requirement of God is for you and me to walk holy before Him every day of our life. Walk in love. Walk in obedience to His Word. And then these demons of hell will not be able to touch you. And you can walk in divine health.
Well, praise the Lord. We've come to the end of a week. We'll continue on right here next week with this teaching. But if you'd like to have this video and audio in its entirety, just give me a call, 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. We'll be happy to send it to you free and postpaid. You can find us on the web at www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ.